It's a freedom machine like no other. Starting, growing, and cashing out of your own business.
Then all hell breaks loose.
Burned out, carrying all the weight on your shoulders, fighting fire after fire, never getting a break. But that was so yesterday.
It's time for your business breakthrough. Break out of the bottleneck. Break through to new levels of success. Break into a life you love. Now from Park Avenue in New York City, here's attorney, strategist, and SBA small business champion, Nina Kaufman. This is the Business Breakthrough Podcast.
Hello, how are you? Welcome to Business Breakthrough. I'm your host, Nina Kaufman, coming to you from the heart of New York City, and I'm glad you're here today. Thanks for tuning in. In this episode, we're going to chat with Matt Inglot. He is the creator of FreelanceTransformation.com about mistakes were made in scaling the mess. But before we jump into the mistakes and the mess, make sure you go to businessexponential.com and download our 10 Steps to a Million Dollar Business report. It is really going to outline 10 aspects that you can shape and change and make improvement with in your business so that it's easier to grow and scale and ultimately sell. So go to businessexponential.com. You'll see an orange bar at the top of the website. Click on that and download. Now, I wanted to have Matt on the show, and he had this wonderful phrase, mistakes were made, because it reminded me of the way lawyers sometimes talk in the passive voice. Mistakes were made, that we don't know who made them or how they were made, but mysteriously, somehow they got made. Hard to admit those mistakes, isn't it? And especially when mistakes in growing and scaling our business seem, gosh, when we look back on it, just so, duh, V8 moment, shouldn't I have known that? And one of the mistakes that I often see, and you know, I've fallen into it myself, is growing too big in too many different ways for the wrong reason. That pursuit of growth for the sake of growth, because we think that's what a bigger and better business looks like. I don't know if you have children or, I mean, I guess we were all kids at one point. I remember raiding my mom's closet when I was little, and you know, my little size 1 feet were trying to fit into her size 7.5 shoe, and you know, putting on a dress and putting on her makeup, and because it's what I thought a grown up looked like. Well, I didn't look like a grown up because I was about 8. So even though I had all of the clothing and all of the outside accoutrement and accessories, there was no way I was going to be a grown up. You know, that wasn't going to suddenly morph me into that. And the fact that my younger brother was carrying around dad's briefcase, which is about, you know, half as tall as he was not going to suddenly make him a great businessman going into the office. Similarly, I see a lot of small businesses, they will take on, I mean, hey, this happened in the whole dot-com era. What did they do? They got huge infusions of cash. And what did they do? They blew it on furniture and offices and all of those things because they thought that's what a serious growing business looks like. Those are some of the things that Matt Inglot talks about in terms of growing his expenses, but not necessarily his income in the same way. And how it really took a sophistication and a maturity to be able to say, hey, whoa, we got to stop this. Realize this is a mistake and I am making it, so that he could rebuild his business in a smarter and a stronger way. And that's what I'm really looking forward to exploring with him on today's episode. So a little bit about Matt. Matt is the creator of FreelanceTransformation.com, where he helps fellow consultants and creative services providers earn more and build their consulting business around their lifestyle. And he was really great about putting together a handful of resources for Business Breakthrough listeners. So make sure you go to his site, freelancetransformation.com/breakthrough. Again, freelancetransformation.com/breakthrough. Matt's expertise comes from running a web agency for 10 years, which he transformed from a traditional brick and mortar office and 80-hour work week. Hey, anyone relate? And he shifted that to a business where he's putting in significantly less time and achieving far greater profitability. From that experience, Matt realized that most freelancers and consultants, and in fact, a lot of business owners, make life far more difficult for themselves than it needs to be. Get it? Yeah. And that's why we're delighted to have him here on Business Breakthrough. Hey, Matt, thanks for being with us today.
It's great to be here.
You have some wonderful and very honest insights about growing too far too fast. And, you know, as you say, sort of mistakes were made. It's hard to admit that we made the mistake, but the mistakes were made in the passive tense. So will you talk a little bit about the problem that happens when you play at being a grown-up and play business?
Yeah, definitely. And luckily, time does heal all wounds. So with every passing year, it's a little bit easier to talk about this stuff. So I have an agency called Tilted Pixel, and we've been in business for over 10 years. But the middle life of that agency was extremely rocky. And the reason for that was this whole idea of playing business. So at some point, I was just freelancing. I was just trying to make money building websites for people because I needed tuition money. And that just seemed like a better idea than flipping burgers or something else. So that worked out extremely well, a little too well, because then I got the idea in my head that, okay, I can turn this into a business. And okay, good idea. But the problem was that my perception of business was very much the mainstream media perception of what a successful business looks like. So think Donald Trump or Silicon Valley startups. So big offices, lots of employees, and the little gremlin that fuels all of this, which is growth. So growth above all else. So while still attending university, I already had an office space. I had employees, and then I got a bigger office space and I got more employees, and it all looked like a really good local success story. But the problem was that I was, as you know, used the word playing business. I was playing business. So I judged the success of my business based on this office space, the employees, the fact that we were growing. But I wasn't nearly as focused on the intangible factors that actually matter. So finding streams of great clients, making sure that the work is really profitable, and putting in place the systems that you would actually need in order to create any of this growth. So by the end of it, I was, you know, working 80 plus hours a week, like investment banker hours. But and I had very little actual money to show for it. At least those guys, I mean, they work hard, but they get paid. I wasn't getting paid, but I was still working very hard, certainly getting paid a lot less than any sort of programming position. And so it finally all just caught up with me. And in early 2011, I smartened up. I got rid of the office space. I slowly transitioned everything to a contract instead of employee basis and just really rebuilt the business.
And you know, and you touch on a couple of really important things, one of which is many, especially those in the creative services, jump in saying, wow, I have a talent and I like to be of service in this way, but they're not necessarily looking at the numbers. And as you pointed out, profitability wasn't always at the forefront of your calculations in those.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's the problem, is those pesky little numbers are actually the thing that you have to figure out in your business, not what's going to make really cool signage.
Right, or great marketing copy.
Exactly.
So you were very, shall we say, diplomatic about making a change, but I've also heard you refer to it as a crash.
Yes.
I mean, you're on business breakthrough. Usually there's a breakdown before the breakthrough. So spill
and that's that's an awesome way to put it. You're right. There is a breakdown right before the breakthrough, which makes me wish I had allowed the breakdown to happen earlier, because for about the last year in this traditional model, I really was breaking down because the work hours were catching up to me. That was probably the biggest problem, was when you wake up at 5 a.m. and, you know, you need two extra large coffees just to sort of feel human. And then you get home and it's like 10 or 11 at night. You relax a bit. You try going to bed. Can't really sleep because you're thinking about business the whole time. I mean, that is not sustainable in any way. And a lot of entrepreneurs kind of realize this after a while. And I was one of them. But also the business wasn't, frankly, making the kind of money that would have made any of this sustainable. It was basically breaking even and giving me just enough money to get by. And you can only do that for so long before you realize, okay, I got to put the brakes on because this just isn't working. So I finally broke down and said, okay, I cannot possibly do this anymore. Like I was physically ill. And I said, okay, well, it's possible that that's going to mean that my business is going to go under, but I have to make some changes. So I finally really dug through my business and took a very careful look at what was actually working in the model and what wasn't. And I knew that immediately I had to get rid of the office space because it was costing us a ton of money. And in the new model, there's no way that I was going to ever fill it, nor was there a need to fill it, which sucked because I had a long office lease and I had put a ton of... be careful when signing leases for office space. And I had put in a ton of money for renovation. So that was really painful because I was letting tens of thousands of dollars go just like that. But I knew it had to be done and I knew I had to kind of change the whole structure. And I knew that my business might not survive. One of the biggest problems was would clients still want to work with us if we had no office? Mm-hmm. And it turns out that actually didn't matter. I had all of these fears about that, but when push came to shove, all of our existing clients stayed on and there was no problem signing on new clients. And suddenly, just by getting rid of the office space, I'd probably saved like $40,000 a year just on that.
Wow. So you mentioned, again, digging through the business, and yet numbers weren't your, let's say, your first language. Did you get help digging through the numbers? How did you know how to dig through the numbers?
Well, ironically, numbers were a language of mine because, I had the business degree. I knew how to do all that stuff. I got really great marks in my accounting courses. Oh. I just, there's a difference between having the technical knowledge and actually applying it, especially when you have to really dig deep into your own stuff. Like, it's always easy to look at someone else's business and you can tell what they should and shouldn't be doing.
Oh, sure.
When it's your own baby, the psychology gets completely messed up.
Right. Do as I say, not as I do.
Exactly. So I did know how to read, income statements and balance sheets and all that. And I had been paying attention to them, but I hadn't been acting on them because I had that underlying belief that I needed that office space, that everybody had to be an employee, right? So those were fundamental beliefs. Mm-hmm. And I also had other beliefs about how much our websites could sell for. I thought that we had to be selling $5,000 websites because that's what all of our competitors were doing. So another thing I realized that I experimented with is just raising our prices much, much higher. And suddenly we were selling $15,000 websites and completely fixing our margins because the product we were offering was very different than the $5,000 website companies.
Wonderful. And did you have any kind of advisory team, anyone to bounce these ideas off of, or this is really insights you came to by seeing your numbers and making the choice to read the story that they're telling you?
I did get a bit of advice from... there is like a business center at the university, but a lot of it came from mostly just introspection, I guess, and then bouncing the ideas off my girlfriend at the time as well. That was very helpful. Like, you got to talk to people, but definitely that was one of the mistakes I made with starting my business is I didn't do nearly enough to seek out others who are already successful. Like, when you look back, why the heck wasn't my contact list filled with tons of other agency owners? That was a huge mistake.
Okay. All right, great. So upon rebuilding, you said you're looking much more carefully at the expenses, what you truly need to do to serve your clients, your pricing. Any other decisions you made upon rebuilding?
So if we look at how I rebuilt things, it was really around, I guess, three basic principles. And again, it took me about a year to really go from realizing this stuff to actually making that change, and probably another year for the results to show. But I focused on three things. I focused on better clients, so higher paying clients, but also clients that were a better fit. So I finally learned that it's a good idea to turn some clients down and not just take on anyone that's willing to write you a check. Because sometimes if you take on the wrong project, especially with a high touch business like consulting, then that can actually cost you in the long run. and you make very little money off it. And you could have used that time to get much better clients. So better clients, switching to a highly variable cost model. Anyone that's ever freelanced or had an agency or anything understands that business comes and goes, and there's different ways to fight that. But one of it is making sure that your costs are carefully aligned with you actually selling work. So all of our, most of our team costs are now contract basis, meaning when we have work, we're paying lots of money. But when we don't have work, we're not paying out lots of money. And that was a huge breakthrough because it's really hard to get ahead when every month you're just trying to meet ends, make ends meet because you have this gigantic overhead. And that was part of the problem with the office space. Mm-hmm. And the last was specifications and processes. So putting into place a lot more systems for how things get done in the business, which makes it far easier to actually now grow and take on more clients and have everything kind of work instead of always being on fire.
As we drill down into these really very helpful three new elements, just the higher paying and more profitable clients, because higher paying does not necessarily mean profitable. Looking more at a variable cost model and keeping fixed costs minimal and better specs and processes. Talk to us first about how you drill down to decide who really is a better client for you. What were some of the things that you started to look for and be able to say no to? Because, you know, I'm fond of saying that business is not like high school dating. You don't just say yes to everyone because they asked.
Yeah, definitely. So I went through all of our, reasonably recent projects, so several years worth, and I started really reflecting on each one. And I looked at a few key criteria. And one thing that really stood out was long-term profitability of a client. So it was kind of an 80-20 rule type thing where 20% of our clients actually were carrying the entire business. They were the ones that kept working with us and represented at least five figures worth of revenue. Mm-hmm. Whereas the 80% were these kind of one-off $5,000 projects. And what was interesting about those smaller projects is they were the same clients that we never really heard much back from again. Like, we solved their problem, we built their site, and I mean, frankly, they really weren't prepared to invest more into then getting more clients through that site. They just wanted a website. So it was 5K, one and done. And when I looked at the profitability of those projects, it was very minimal. Like, $5,000 might create a ton of project management and sales work for me, and it might leave the company with $1,000 or $2,000 in profit. Mm-hmm. Not sustainable, really not. Whereas you'd have a client that would bring in 50 or 60 or now, even over $100,000 over the course of several years. And that's a client that allows you to build a sustainable business. So that was a big part of my realization when I started looking through all of these projects, was just realizing, hey, wait a minute, a lot of these sales that we're closing are actually hurting the company rather than moving us forward.
Wow. And that's a, as you say, a really important realization, because, even four figures can sound like a nice amount, but unless you are able to factor in that profitability aspect to it, that it's not just cash in, but what is the time and financial investment in earning that $5,000?
Yeah. And you have to shift your thinking when you start a business, because when I was in university and I needed money for rent, I needed money for beer, and that's about it. And even $500 just sounded like, wealth beyond your wildest dreams. But when you're running a business and you have all of these expenses attached to everything, then you're always thinking like $1,000 is almost like the base unit of currency in a business, right? Like, everything just starts costing so much more because of everything that actually goes into it. So it's a very different economic model when you have a business and you expect real profits and you have to be able to pay your people versus when you're a student and you're worried about beer money. But I think I'm definitely not alone when you talk about this. It's a lot of other freelancers and not a lot of people starting other businesses, not just freelancing. They're still thinking about their own personal financial model and what they need versus what a business needs.
Right. And to your point about fixed costs, it's also very important to keep those and as lean as you need, but not necessarily so bare bones that you don't have an opportunity to grow the business in a scalable way.
Absolutely. And these days, I mean, I'll spend wildly on the really important stuff that I know generates a return for me, such as making sure that I have great people working for me. They're worth every penny, and I'm happy to pay that money. But there's a lot of things that aren't that important to actually creating profit. And those are things that when you're starting out, especially, you really shouldn't be focusing on. Like, you should not pay $3,000 to have your office space painted.
Right. So in that theme of mistakes were made, you were playing business the way little kids play dress up. Mm-hmm. You had built a fixed overhead business. You were taking on clients without really understanding the profitability. Talk to us a little bit about not having clear systems and that process of creating them so that you are able to free up your time, because you have a wonderful new business, new project that you're working on that can really serve a lot of people.
Sure. So creating processes was a big part of it as well. That's one area. I mean, we weren't ever terrible at it, but there was a lot of improvement to be done. And a big part of it was figuring out a systematic process for how we handle our sales and how we handle project management, especially because there was a lot of times where as soon as we actually did get a lot of traction, things also kind of started just, you know, the wheels started flying off the car because we didn't know how to handle that many projects. So now we actually use a project management system. We've kind of put together standards for how we expect work to get done, both in the technical sense. So, for example, I have pages and pages of documentation of just what a tilted pixel website design looks like and all of these little things that we've learned we need to make sure go into the design so that we have a great result for the client. But it's also documentation in the sense of, you know, what do we consider an acceptable turnaround for work for a client. So everyone's getting like a consistently good service, where there were times where, and this is true, unfortunately, with so many freelancers, so many agencies, where a client might get a next day turnaround, or they might be emailing you a month later wondering what the heck's happened.
Right.
So having the systems to manage those projects to make sure everyone's getting treated properly and nothing's falling through the cracks was huge. And that's just a matter of putting together the right documentation, really thinking through your standard operating procedures. So what happens now is we actually have the right systems in place that everybody gets the same level of service. So no longer will you email us, and this happens with a lot of freelancers and agencies where they really mess this up. You'll email them and as a client, and sometimes they'll give you a next day turnaround and get the work done. And sometimes you'll get in touch, and a month later, they still haven't gotten the work to you. That's a problem because they just don't have the systems in place. And that was true for us for a couple years. Whereas now we actually have the correct expectations of turnaround times, and we have the tools and processes in place to manage all that. So now very, very difficult for client work to get off track or slip between cracks. We know what needs to get done, and we can look pretty far ahead in our development calendar so we can figure out how to make a project happen. Basically, I think project management is actually one thing that really gets ignored in a lot of agencies and with freelancers as well. It doesn't get the spec that it needs in terms of there's a lot of value that comes from just really laying out the game plan for each project and not just jumping in and starting to work right away without going through the planning process.
And that's a great point because, again, so many service business owners jump in without, I mean, they've got the technical skills and they're brilliant that way, but they don't necessarily have the project management skills, and those aren't always intuitive.
No, they're not. And it's not the type of thing you're going to learn in school unless you get like a certification in project management or anything like that. So you jump into this business with that technical skill and none of the skills to run it.
Right. All right. So it sounds like you found far more profitable clients. your numbers are flowing a lot better. You have far better systems to make sure that projects are being handled smoothly. So I'm guessing that your business isn't so dependent on you, and that frees you up for some other stuff, doesn't it?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, there's a contradiction here because when I was playing business, everything just wasn't working out for me. I think the type of business I had pictured in my head, that Donald Trump style business, wasn't for me. And it wasn't working. Whereas you fast forward now, and the contradiction is now that we look very little like a traditional business, we have no office space, everything's virtualized, almost completely electronic. Now I'm trying to get rid of checks altogether, for example, because that one last piece of paper that you really need. And now that we look a lot less like a business, we actually operate much, much more profitably, because now it's been set up and optimized for profit and to give me the kind of lifestyle that what I want, which is key for me. So I don't mind working. I love working in my business. I love working with all my clients. I'm actually still most of the time the main point of contact for them. But I've also been able to do things thanks to all of these processes, like spend 2 months traveling Poland and Ukraine and checking my email every 2 weeks. And that's the kind of thing that you're not going to get if you don't have these processes established.
Right. That's a great thing. And so you've created a new project, if you will, called Freelance Transformation. And it seems to touch on some of the same things about making sure that you're working on interesting and profitable projects, financial security, time for family. And this one I love, being able to travel more than 2 weeks at a time and do that and creating a healthy and a smart freelance lifestyle. So talk to me a little bit about what it's like also being able to put that together and devote some time to that now that you don't have to be shackled to Tilted Pixels all the time.
Yeah, exactly. And it's a great feeling because I do spend wildly irresponsible amount of time on Freelance Transformation. And that's basically my way of collecting my knowledge as well as the knowledge of other amazing consultants. And it's sort of giving it to that next generation of people that are struggling with those same problems, because it took me years to figure this out on my own. And if you kind of summarize all my mistakes, a lot of it can come back to not taking the time to learn from others that have already been through all this. Mm-hmm. So with Freelance Transformation, I try to give that opportunity to more people. A big part of the site is the podcast, where I do bring on someone every week that's just absolutely rocking it in a consulting world. And we've got over 45 hours of content there. There's also an email list on Freelance Transformation where I write a lot about how my business works and all sorts of consulting topics. And all of this was started back in April of 2015, and it's just really taken off.
Terrific. Terrific. Wonderful. Well, Matt, that, you know, you've given us, again, you've been an example of the very things you're trying to do on Freelance Transformation, which is share from the mistakes. So we have time to learn in terms of being very clear about the numbers and our profitability and how you can have a really profitable business without all of the other physical trappings, being very clear about who you serve best and having a good checklist for that so that you can say no. And also making sure that you've got some really smart processes. I like that you've got not only the design in terms of the deliverables, but also the customer experience, which is turnaround time, how you're interfacing with them, and making sure that they're not sitting around wondering what happened to you and did you fall off the face of the earth.
Absolutely. It's been my pleasure, Nina. Thanks for having me on the show. And I think we can do then for your listeners is I'll put together a little bonus page at freelancetransformation.com/breakthrough. And what I'll do there is I'll share a couple of resources. I think one thing that could be very handy for listeners to this episode is a checklist, how to identify the clients that you should be working with, because that was such a huge breakthrough for me going back to this whole 80-20 thing where 20% of the clients were actually carrying the business.
Wow. Wow. Terrific. Love it. Thank you. Thank you again, Matt. Thanks for being on the show. And we'll look forward to having your episode uploaded and getting that checklist.
My pleasure. Thanks so much.
Okay. Thanks for being here. Hey, thanks for listening. Remember, go over to businessexponential.com right now and download our 10 steps to a $1 million business. We lay it out for you step by step, the 10 building blocks that'll have you building and growing your business so it's not so dependent on you. Won't that be a relief? Of course it will. So do it right this minute so you don't forget. You'll see it there on top of the homepage. Go to businessexponential.com.